trust him for his word is true. He'll show you just what to do to help you to be wise if you open your eyes. It's perfect love. From evil ways, and you must trust him for his word is true. He'll show you just what to do to help you understand his perfect plan. Love the Lord with all your might
and follow him.
Trust him for his word is true. He'll show you just what to do to help you to do right, not the Lord with thy right. If you want to be wise, just open your eyes and take a look into God's book. And you must trust him for his word is true. He'll show you just what to do to help you to be wise when you open your eyes.
Amen. How wonderful. But they should have sang it twice, or three times, or four times, or more times. Amen. Let's sing that song. Let's stay under his blood. Amen. I'm gonna stay.
I'm gonna stay right under his blood.
sing that song as we gather. But I want you to say something to Brother Sash. Because he said to me when we were coming in, he said, do you have the spirit, the, what are they called? Supernatural books. So I said, brother, I only have one. The pastor asked for it. It's amazing you want it. So he said, brother, there's a woman with cancer. I want to give her that book. But I want you to say something about the song. We've got the power. And the power is prayer. I'll give you a short testimony that I've given many times. We used to pray, a lot of us, Brother World, Brother Max. And there was one man, I know his boss got cancer. The man I know is not a Christian. And I said to him, do you want me to pray for the man? And he said, yeah, because last time you prayed, I got a job. So I said, okay, look, we'll pray for him as a church. And we prayed over some weeks. And the man, he was having special chemotherapy in London because it was supposed to be the best. And one of the days he went back, not long after we started praying, and they told him, the cancer's gone. You see, but that's the power we have. But sometimes we don't realize we have the power. And the amazing thing of what you were saying, Brother Eli, put a request for his landlord, some connection to his landlord has cancer, and asked for prayer. So the power is prayer. That's what I wanted to say to you, brother. Amen. Let's sing that song as we gather. Keep it, please.
As we gather in your spirit among us, as we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we will be led.
Great is thy faithfulness. We are here to praise our King.
We are here to praise.
Isn't it?
You alone,
alone, alone, Time they go to the time that they come forth. Amen. Father, be in every arrangement, Lord.
Amen.
And every link in the chain of the places that they will go.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let them meet the right people.
Amen.
Father, let the doors be open and the doors be shut according to your will.
Amen.
And bring them back, Lord, Father. Grateful and thankful to thee for your goodness and your grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for our brother and his family. Father, such a blessing to see him again. Father, thank you that you've gathered us in your house, in your name.
Amen.
Now, Lord, we desire your mercy. We desire your grace, what you have, Lord. As we look to you, Father, you are the only one that can minister to the souls of your people.
Amen.
How many times the prophet said it, Lord. Father, we can open the pages of the book But it's you who has to open up the way.
Amen.
It's you who has to open up the understanding.
Yes.
It's you who has to, Father, give unto us the revelation that we need.
Amen.
Every one of us in the situations that we are.
Amen.
And Father, we know that it's faith. It's when you speak unto us.
Yes, Lord.
That is the victory, Lord. So won't you speak into our circumstances upon this day? Won't you bless your word unto us? Father, thank you for the sacred scriptures. Thank you for the ancient words, Father.
Amen.
Lord, hand it down unto us. Lord, help us to be faithful, we pray. Them that aren't here upon this day, would you dedicate them into your hands? Watch over them, Lord, we ask. But Father, we're glad to be there. You be glorified.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's open Hebrews 11, saints. Let's take a scripture reading before we have a few announcements. Let's read verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 11, 11:6. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang the even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude.
Hallelujah.
And as the sand which is by the seashore.
Yes, Lord.
Let's also read the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, the book of Habakkuk. If you can't find it, there's an index in the front of your Bible. It's just before the book of Zechariah. Habakkuk.
Amen.
Chapter 2. This is where Paul got his teaching on faith. The just shall live by faith from his scripture.
Amen.
Habakkuk 2, verse 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Yes, sir.
But at the end it shall speak and not lie.
Yes, sir.
Though it tarry.
Yes. Amen.
Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up.
Hallelujah.
Is not upright in him. But the just shall live by
his faith.
Amen.
The Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Just some quick announcements before we get into the word. We're ready. Wanted to give a word of appreciation. I'm sure the saints can see we've got some new sound equipment in.
Amen.
So there were some saints who helped us with that. The church put up about half the money, and some saints, I don't want to be named, but they really helped us to put the rest. So we really do appreciate that. And may the Lord bless them. God is no man's debtor. You know, when you sow like that, the Lord will abundantly give you a harvest. So we really do appreciate that. I'm sure it'll take a little bit of time for the saints to get all the settings right.
Yes, sir.
Some of the speakers not working in the back room and stuff, but since we really do appreciate that. Just wanted a bit of feedback as well from the meeting that on Friday. We had just continued on from our meeting when we went with all the officers to Wicklow in December. Just wanted to follow some of those things up and move some things along. And so just to give you a bit of feedback, firstly, concerning our building project, the saints that said it to me, the great weakness as well as communication. So just really wanted to say it. The building project, the building of our church, is underway. You know, so the saints asked us to say, please, can we not put a building fund box in the church? I said, that's fine. So we'll do that. The trustees are arranging that. So, you know, my brother Will, he's a master architect.
He's designed
this, a very nice church. I'm sure we can refine it as we go. But we really saw it. Brother Shelton had brought it up before. Brothers had spoken about it, that, you know, we really do need some activities, some projects outside of the church in order for us to raise the funds that we require to build the church. Brother Wilmore's estimated possibly it would probably cost us about 500,000 euro to build the church. That seems a lot of money. So the brothers had volunteered, those with business gifts and skill, had volunteered to form a project outside of church. Like a building project, a fundraising project. So Brother Shelton, Brother Mike from Malawi, and Brother Woodmont, they started the project, they started yesterday, they had a meeting to start discussing various possibilities, seeking the leadership, the blessing of the Lord, to raise some money so that we can really get up. The first objective, obviously, being to raise sufficient money to get a mortgage, you know, so that we build our church. And then the second objective being to completely pay the mortgage so we don't have any debt, because we wouldn't want to be in any debt. So it's ambitious, but it's great.
Amen.
Because it's a test of faith.
That's right.
You know, so we really appreciate the saints that met together. And they're asking if there's anybody else who's interested in joining them. They're putting different ideas together. If anybody wants to, like I said, this isn't a church project. And I know Brother Shelton knows it well what happened to the saints in New York. And there was a brother in church who was very gifted business-wise, and he was good at investing and making a return on investment. And then the church got involved in it, and people sold their houses and used their pensions and stuff. They put a lot of money into that brother, and it didn't go well.
Yep.
Some people lost their houses, pensions and stuff. It was a real sad story. You know, so we wouldn't really want to do those things under the auspices of the church. But if there's anybody else who really wants to participate in that, please see Brother Wilmore. If anybody wants to contribute in any way, financially, with your skills, whatever, the saints are just trying to raise some capital, using that capital, then seeking the blessing, the inspiration of the Lord to implement projects so that we can raise money, which will then go into, obviously, there'll be certain expenses to run the project. But then the aim is to take the profits and help us to get ourselves going. We'll also have a building fund box. Since already some have contributed to the building fund, we do appreciate that. We do keep that very strictly in a separate account, a separate portion of our bank account. It's kept separate, it's not used for anything else. You know, so if the Lord lays upon your heart, we are fellowshipping about it on Friday, that the tabernacle was built on the freewill offerings of the sons and daughters of Israel, the children of Israel.
Amen.
As the Lord moved them, they contributed.
Amen.
So, but I just really wanted to make it clear that that was one of the reasons for our meeting on Friday, was to really set a fixed agenda, to put things in a concrete way so that we can come and say to you today, saints, we've officially started. So let's pray about it. Let's seek the blessing of the Lord upon it. This is His church. And we're not building it for ourselves. We're building it for Him, for His glory, for His honor. You know, so we look to Him to lead and guide right from the beginning. So we really do appreciate that. When we had the youth weekend, the previous weekend in Wicklow, a very good suggestion was made for us to have a question box or suggestions box in church as well. So we've asked the trustees to do that. So we also have a questions box. Questions boxes are good for those who want to ask tricky questions, because they're normally the anonymous questions. Now, normally if somebody has a question, they'll send it an email or they send it in WhatsApp. But a questions box is good if somebody wants to ask a real tricky question and doesn't want to really to be implicated in the questions. So it's good. Let people ask their questions, let people have liberty. So we'll be doing that as well. We spoke about outreach. You know, that's been a big focus of what you've been speaking about, praying about. So we're going to be having our first outreach in 2 weeks' time on a Saturday. As I suggested, let's just get a table, let's just get out there, put our table, get the musicians, put our literature. It's like a little quote I sent around the other day. The prophet says, you just get started and God will do the rest. So amen. I just wanted to get started, so may the Lord bless that outreach. Today after church, we're meeting with the youth again to follow up from last weekend at the sisters' apartment in town.
Amen.
Really appreciate that. And what we wanted to do is just firm up what we discussed last weekend, and I'll just give a bit of feedback. We didn't do it last week because we didn't want a rebellion in the midst, because the youth were tired. But one of the big things we spoke on last weekend, it's interesting Brother Sasha said, because I've spoken to Brother Sasha about it, how in Croatia they use social media. So they used it very, very effectively to spread the message. So we had spoken about that many times. We've done different things. But when we went to Wicklow with the officers of the church and we discussed that one, we thought, well, the best people to really get involved in that would be the youth. So when we went to Wicklow, we presented that to the youth as a real project, you know, a challenge to them to say, saints, we really do believe for us to reach out to the youth, to reach out to the generation that's raising up, we need the youth to be involved. So, you know, I was really glad everybody was very keen. Got some very good input from all of the young people. So we discussed using Facebook. We discussed using YouTube. We discussed a youth-oriented website with things that are applicable to the challenges of this generation. Linking it into YouTube, doing different things. And so we spoke about it. We put all our ideas together. And then there were different saints from among the youth who now volunteered their services and their talents to help in these things. So we're really glad about that. So there's certain good at design, others are good at websites, and others are good like Feli and them, or the video camera. Yeah, so it's a lot of ideas. So we wanted to meet them. All they had asked is if we could call on Brother Kwame, call upon Brother Jose with all of his skills, call upon those saints, Brother Eli, those that have good skills in this regard, that the youth would really appreciate if they could call upon saints like that for input, consultation, and so forth to get the things going. So we wanted to have a new website aimed at youth. We wanted to be well-designed, interactive, and then we wanted on that website there to be answers that this generation are looking for, you know, so presented in a good way. And then obviously we'll do link to our main website so people want to find more information, get deeper into stuff. And on Facebook, we wanted to use it mainly for questions and answers, you know, interactivity in that kind of way. So there's different saints that would be moderating that. But we really were happy, really, it was wonderful how the young people desired to run with that project. You know, so we're just asking the rest of the saints, let's really keep this in prayer. Do whatever we can, but we wanted to meet this afternoon to try to firm things up. There were also some other very good ideas came from among the youth about, you know, the greatest challenge to the young people is the influence of worldly friends. You know, and that's the greatest thing. In almost everyone's case who you asked, I said, you know, one of the greatest challenges to me is my friends at school, friends at college. You know, that kind of influence. So we discussed that as a big challenge and what are the solutions. And it came up, you know, the youth really want to fellowship more amongst themselves. So today being a prime example, one of the suggestions was meeting after church. No, as youth. When we said it on Friday, we've asked Brother Max to be among the youth, to be the youth leader, Brother Max Jr. So he's glad he accepted that. So it's really good to have that. To have one person who really can bounce things off and so forth. And Brother Will and I will work closely with him on those things. But fellowshipping after church on a Sunday, because that knocks on the head many things. One of the most important things, as we mentioned on Friday, is discipleship. Now, how do you learn to become a disciple? You've got to be with somebody who's a disciple. If somebody is ahead of you in the Lord, how do you know how to pray? They came to the Lord and said, teach us how to pray. And you need someone to teach you how to pray. And the best way to do it is learning by doing. Now, there's no theoretical knowledge that's of very much benefit in a Christian life. It's better you take the scriptures, you apply them. You take the principles of overcoming and you apply them. Those that are before you in the Lord are invaluable in that. You know, so among the youth, there's some that are doing very well. There's some who want to do very well, but they're not doing very well. You know, so we're looking at that. So the other idea came up was on bank holiday weekends, every bank holiday weekend to have a youth Saturday. The Saturdays have the whole day together, which is a tremendous idea. Youth gathering together for youth dinner, youth picnics, things like that. You know, the key is redeem the time for the days of evil. Yeah, so I just wanted to feedback. That's one of the main things which we had spoken of when we were there, is that's a big challenge for the young people. So the young people really wanted to get more and more involved, so we're more than happy to help them to get involved on that. One more thing, we spoke on Friday about instituting our bell policy, like Brother Brennan did. So the trustees are going to be putting our bell up, because you want to really get ourselves back to starting at 11 o'clock, our song worship. That's really where we're supposed to be starting. You know, so we need saints to come on time. We want, you know, our Sunday school to be upstairs at Brother Max, you know, 10:30 to 11. And the only way we can coordinate who's up there and who's down here and so forth, the prophet at the bell, at the end of Sunday school, a few minutes before Sunday school, they'll ring the bell. And then everybody would know it's time to polish things up. Let's get into the main auditorium. Let's get ourselves ready for the service, for the song worship. So the trustees are going to do that. So a couple of minutes to 11, they'll ring the bell. And then everybody's coordinated. Everybody knows it's time. It's wind up. Let's get ourselves nicely in order. The Bible says, do all things decently and in order. So that's the aim that we have on it. Then finally, the Easter convention in Switzerland. There's quite a number of young people who want to go. And I'm really encouraging saints to go. Now we're going to have, I've asked Brother Levantis that he get back to me to try to arrange for him to come to us on the St. Patrick's weekend, March the 17th, to have like special meetings that weekend. Now, so we'll focus more on that as a church. But Brother Max will be away also at Easter, going to Ghana to take a convention there.
Listen, there's quite a number of saints who are in Easter. We will have some visitors. Brother Oliver Morange wants to come just to visit at Easter with some saints from Nottingham. He contacted me, so I said, please come. I said, there'll be quite a lot of saints away, but come for fellowship. I've invited Brother Tom to come and preach on this Saturday for Easter. He's going to come on down. But Brother Oliver as well will be here, although he said he didn't want to preach, but there's no such thing as a holiday for a preacher. So, you know, the saints are left behind. That's wonderful. So we're aiming to have March 17th, by the grace of God, Brother Wanza is going to get the brother who does his appointments to get back to us on that. But we'll really try to focus on something that weekend, St. Patrick's weekend. And then on Easter, whosoever can go, go. It will be a tremendous opportunity to go to Switzerland. So if anybody wants further information, let us know. And we'll be more than happy to help with that. So we're all looking forward to this year.
Amen.
I'm under expectation, anticipation of good things that the Lord will do to us. Amen. Let's stand once again, saints. Let's pray once more. Why don't you all pray?
Amen.
Before we come to the service. You know the challenges you're going through? You need the Lord to speak to you. I need the Lord to speak to me. We need His grace. Let's all come to a word of prayer before we get into the service.
Father Jesus, we come before you, Lord, all upon this time. Father, thank you for your goodness and kindness, Lord. Father, for this opportunity, even just to speak to you, O God, what a privilege, what a honor. Lord, not only just, but Lord, Father, to speak to me in the assembly of the saints. What a blessing, Lord. What an honor, Lord, Savior, Father, for Christ to come out from, Lord, Father, thine house and thine entire place in the public place. Bless your church. Bless, Lord, Savior, Father, your Father Levi that stands, Lord, Father, in the way, in the humble state. Father, you grant grace and wisdom, Father, that, Lord, Savior, at the end of this service, may we, Lord, Savior, marvel and say it was wonderful, Father, to be in the house of the Lord. Bless us now, Savior. Keep us, we pray. Grant unto us, Lord, even as we desire. The daily place is just a close rope with these partners in our transgressions, partners, Lord, even in those places where we grieve. And give us, Lord, again, Father, oh God, just, Lord, Father, wonderful time in thy presence, oh God. We just give, Lord, Father, to incline, Lord, Father, our ear and our heart unto thee, Lord, in that promise day. Bless, Lord, Trevi, your word. Bless, Lord, every brother, every sister, every visitor within our gates. Keep us now, Father, we pray. Grant us now your grace. Grant us your mercy, we pray. You provide what is lacking in the service. In the way of virtue, Lord, you grant, Lord, Trevi, we pray.
In the same may be seated. Thank you for your time. May the Lord bless you. Is it really too warm? Was it just me? Is it okay?
Just
it's warm. So it's a little bit careful on our heat because heat and sleep are good companions in the house of the Lord. So today we wanted to continue on with looking at Hebrews 11. And the part of the scripture I really liked on Hebrews 11 when it spoke about through faith, Sarah. It said in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful.
Amen.
Who had promised. Amen. That's the key to faith, isn't it? It's judging him faithful who has promised.
Amen. Yes.
So he's got to bring the promise to you. You've got to judge him faithful of that promise.
Amen. Amen.
So you can see that faith, real faith, is based on relationship. It's all it's going to be. No, because you've got to judge him faithful who's giving you the promise. If you don't know somebody well, it's not easy. You're going to be uncertain about their faithfulness to their promise.
Amen.
But if we had to give it a title today, we'd like to speak about faith's timetable. Faith's timetable, because faith has its own timetable.
Amen.
And that's one of the keys which you see when you study the scriptures, whether you study the Christian testimony of saints gone by, and you look in your own testimony, is that God operates on his own timetable. Last week we finished off looking at faith's focus. What does faith focus on? No, faith doesn't focus on a lot of things. No, for faith to be satisfied, faith doesn't need a lot of things.
Amen.
Firstly, faith doesn't need to know where. We saw it last week with Abraham. Now that by faith, Abraham obeyed. He obeyed the Lord. When the Lord called him to go out to an inheritance, called him to go out to a place that he didn't know. The scripture says, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed.
and went up, not knowing whither he went. So we saw that faith doesn't need to know where. So when the Lord's going to lead you to do something, turn this corner. No, whatever that it is, you don't need to know sometimes where he's leading you.
Right.
As long as you know, like we said last week, that God is in the program. If you know that that's the leadership of the Lord, you need to ask a lot of questions. Okay, Lord, I'm not going to go until you tell me where we're going. That's not the faith of Abraham. Abraham was more than satisfied when the Lord told him, separate yourself.
Abraham
didn't ask a lot of questions. When?
Well,
how am I going to get there? What's the land going to be like when I get there? No, he just focused his faith on what God told him to do. Separate yourself. And God would show him the rest. And it's like we just said, when you get started, God does the rest. When you just obey faith, then the Lord starts to open things and lead you from that place. So faith doesn't really need to know that. Faith doesn't worry itself with why. Why is God not answering us? Why does God want me to do that? That's the fallen human nature that worries with why. Faith is never worried about why. Now, if the Lord speaks, faith is satisfied. The Lord told me to do this, let me just do it. That doesn't have a lot of whys in it. You can always tell someone who's born again. They don't have a lot of whys. No, the Bible says you don't need any man to teach you, but the Spirit that you have received, it will teach you.
There's
not a lot of whys. The Lord reveals things to you as you go.
Amen.
Now, the one we're looking at today is faith also doesn't worry about when.
Amen.
It doesn't worry about God's timetable.
Amen.
If the Lord gives a promise, faith isn't worried about when.
Amen.
It's we that worry about when. Because we're creatures of time. But faith, from the dimension that it comes from, there's no time in the dimension that faith comes from.
Amen.
In the faith dimension, there's no time.
Amen.
So God doesn't worry about time.
That's right.
Faith doesn't worry about time. It's us who worry about time.
Amen.
You see, you know, it's a key there. The only thing, like we said last week, that faith worries about is who.
Amen.
That's all that it wants to know is who. If God is speaking to me, who is the one giving me this instruction? And as long as you know that it's God in the program, as long as you know who it is, the why, the what, the where, the when, the how, they'll take care of themselves. Faith is just satisfied. Paul said it in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed.
Hallelujah.
There were many things Paul didn't know. Maybe he didn't understand, why am I suffering these things? Why are some of these things taking so long? Why can't I go here? Why can't the Lord, does the Spirit not lead me there? There were many things he couldn't answer, but as long as he knew, I know in whom I have believed.
Amen.
And he says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded, that's right, that he is able to keep that
Amen.
Which I've committed unto him against that day.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So faith is satisfied. As long as God is in the program, everything's going to come out well in the end.
Amen.
You just commit. Whatever I've committed to him, I'm counting him faithful that what I've committed to him, he's able to bring it out.
Amen.
He's able to keep it against that day.
Amen.
And faith has that confidence in that. Now, faith focuses on the current revelation.
Amen.
That's what
Amen.
We said last week. Faith
Amen.
Doesn't ask for explanations.
Amen.
Faith survives on revelation.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is not in the business of giving us explanations.
Amen.
God gives us revelation.
Amen.
And all faith needs is revelation.
Amen.
As long as you know this is coming from him whom you have believed, you don't need a lot of explanation. We said it about Job. Job said, if I can come before him, I'll fill my mouth with arguments. And then when Job came into the presence of God with all of these perplexing questions, all the Lord did was reveal himself to Job.
Amen.
And Job was satisfied.
Amen.
God never answered one of his questions.
Amen.
God never told him why. God never told him how. God never told him any of those things. He just says, I am God.
Yes,
where were you
Amen.
When I laid the foundations
Amen.
Of the world?
Amen.
And then when he stood in the presence of God and received this fresh revelation, he put his hand on his mouth.
Amen.
And said, who am I to argue with the to contend with my maker?
Yes, sir.
Who am I to contend Amen. With the Most High? And that is, since faith is satisfied
yes,
just with revelation.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied. As long as God is with you, faith is satisfied.
Amen.
So where does the problem come in? The outer man.
You see, because this man's not governed by faith. This man is governed by sense. This man is governed by time. This man is governed by what you can see. This man is governed by what you can reason and so forth. And that's when these kingdoms come into conflict. The faith dimension comes now in conflict now with this creature of time. And that was a great conflict that Sarah had to go through. Because what do we learn from Sarah? When it says in the scripture that she was delivered of child when she was past age. What does that mean? She was past age. This is the great thing about faith. That actually means she had moved beyond the period of opportunity.
Amen.
Or, that word also means past age means the best time to do something. Mm-hmm. It also means when circumstances are the most suitable. Mm-hmm. So obviously she's speaking about her fertility. No, she had moved beyond the time of life that the natural people would tell you, if you're going to have a child, you have to have the child now. Amen. You see, the world works according to that timetable. Mm. The world will tell you, you have to marry by a certain age. You have to have children by a certain age. You know, if you're sick, you need to see the doctor before a certain time. Mm. That's all the terminology of fallen man.
Right.
Faith doesn't understand any of those things.
Amen. Amen.
Faith doesn't respect the human timetable.
Right.
Faith has its own timetable.
Amen.
So those Sarah, she's to all of her relatives, they're saying, you're never going to have a child. And she said, why? They said, because you're past menopause. Menopause, I went to look today. When is menopause now? It's averages between 49 to 52 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. The Bible says she was well stricken in age. This is the great challenge.
Amen.
This is the great challenge when faith is telling you not to work according to the human timetable. Especially on marriage, I've seen that, especially with sisters as well. Now they start getting near 30 and so forth, and they're not yet married, and the devil comes in to really tempt them now. To say, you've moved beyond your period of opportunity. If ever you were to get married, it was at that suitable occasion that you had when you were 20-something. Friends, as long as God is in the program, faith doesn't worry about those things. Faith, if God is in the program, God has His timetable. God has His timetable.
Amen.
And God works totally contrary to our timetable so many times.
Amen.
But His timetable in the end, if you allow it to unfold itself, is always the right timetable.
Amen.
Your friends won't understand it. Your mother and father won't understand it. But friends, faith understands it.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied in those things. Faith doesn't worry about people telling you you've moved beyond the proper time of doing things. Faith doesn't. It's not governed by time. That's how the prophet says in demonology, it says, there's where sight and time is God's worst enemy.
Divine
healing. What is God's worst enemy? Sight, which is your senses,
Amen.
And time.
Amen.
That's right.
Faith is independent of time.
Amen. Amen.
Faith has its own sense.
Amen.
Faith is a sense in itself. And that's why there will always be a clash. It depends on which one we're feeding the most.
Hallelujah.
Depends on which one we're fellowshipping with the most. Depends on which one we're putting the most emphasis on. That's going to govern the way that we either obtain the good report or we don't obtain the good report before.
Yeah, man.
Because faith is not governed by sight or time. And that's the test of faith. Now, the prophet says, and I've heard, but now I see. He says, that's the way with every believer. No matter how bad the cancer's got you, how long you've been sitting in that wheelchair, any of those things, if you can just grasp that revelation from God,
Amen. You have faith,
then be satisfied knowing it's going to happen, because faith waits patiently for the promise.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Faith is very patient.
Amen. Amen.
Abraham was patient for 25 years.
Amen.
Faith was never flustered. Faith was never worried. Faith waits patiently for the promise.
Amen.
But you and I don't wait patiently for the promise.
Amen.
Because we look on Facebook and we see, hey, that guy that I was at school with, look at him now. Yes. And look at this girl. Oh, she's got three children already. I'm not even married yet. That's sight and time. Why are you focusing on those things?
Amen.
Feed your faith.
Amen. Amen.
If God is in the program, God has a timetable. Everything works according to his timetable. It just depends on which timetable you want it to focus on.
Yes.
Friends, in heaven there's no calendars.
Yes.
In heaven there's no wristwatches.
Yes. That's right.
In heaven it's eternity. There's no time.
Amen. Amen.
So where faith comes from, there's no time.
Amen.
So faith doesn't recognize time.
Right.
It doesn't understand time.
Amen.
Faith doesn't understand the terminology. It's too late.
Amen.
Never in heaven was that phrase uttered that it's too late.
Right.
Or you should have come sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Faith doesn't recognize that kind of terminology.
Amen.
That's the terminology of time.
Amen.
But faith is independent of time.
Amen.
Faith comes from a faith dimension. And that dimension has no time.
Right.
There's no time where faith comes from.
Amen.
That's why faith waits patiently for the promise.
Amen.
It doesn't worry about it. So when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, he went into the faith dimension. He was there. What's the first thing that he said when he got there? He said, there was no yesterday. There was no tomorrow.
Amen.
They didn't get tired.
Amen.
You think the people, they're impatient. They're not impatient about anything. Because in the faith dimension, there's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. You don't get tired, friends. Faith never gets tired in waiting.
Amen.
Faith never gets tired. It can't get tired.
Hallelujah.
It's you and I listening to sight and time.
Yes,
that
sir.
We start getting tired because we're focusing on the wrong things. But faith can never tire. Faith is patient. He says it in adoption. He says, you'd have to have the experience. Speaking of going beyond the curtain of time. He says, you'd have to have the experience to know it. Because there's no way to explain it. It's the same as faith.
Amen.
You cannot find words because it's in an eternity. There's no yesterday, no tomorrow. It's all present tense.
Amen.
Faith is always present tense.
Amen.
Faith doesn't worry about yesterday. Faith doesn't worry about tomorrow. Faith is present tense.
Amen.
Because it comes from a dimension where everything is present tense.
Amen.
So faith always is not, it doesn't recognize the future faith. Faith is just satisfied now.
Amen.
And when you're walking by faith, you're the same way. You're just satisfied now.
Amen.
Your friends will be saying to you, what's your plan for the future? What are you storing up for your old age?
Mm-hmm.
You'll just be satisfied with now.
Amen.
Don't just say, like I say, you're not unrealistic. You must do with the things which you need to do. But you're not worried about those things.
Amen.
You're not lying on your bed at night saying, what shall I eat and what shall I drink and what shall I wear? You know, like Jesus said, after these things, the unbelievers, the heathen, they seek after. Because that's the dimension that they're living in.
Amen.
But as for you, you just seek his kingdom.
Amen.
You just fellowship with the faith dimension. You'll be satisfied with now.
Amen.
That's all that faith knows is now.
Amen.
It doesn't know what was past or what's to come. It's eternal, it only knows now. The prophet says, it's not, I feel pretty good. And an hour from now, I don't feel so well. And another hour, I feel good again. It's present tense all the time.
Amen.
It never ceases, just a glorious peace.
Amen.
That's what faith gives to you. When you have faith inside of you, faith doesn't feel good now and not good tomorrow.
Amen.
That's sense and sight and time.
That's
right. Human reasoning and your carnal body that you're dwelling in. It can change. But faith is so constant.
Amen. Amen.
Because of the dimension that it's proceeded from.
Right.
Amen. It doesn't feel good now and tomorrow it's feeling weak.
Amen.
Nothing like that. Faith is just satisfied.
Hallelujah.
It might take 25 years like Abraham.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied.
Amen. Amen.
Faith doesn't worry about how long it's going to take.
Amen.
Faith knows that God has his timetable.
Amen.
That though the vision tarry, wait for it, it shall speak.
Amen.
It will speak. Don't tire.
Amen.
Just feed your faith. Rest on your faith.
That's right.
That's the basis of it. So faith is perfectly satisfied to rest in present tense.
Amen.
Just to do what God is telling you to do now. Like you spoke about Joseph. He couldn't open the prison doors. No matter how hard he tried.
But he knew the Lord was with him in the prison. He knew God is in the program. So therefore I can worry about the past, what my brothers did for me. I can worry about how all these visions going to be fulfilled. He didn't worry about that. Faith is present tense. He just focused on the present. Because the Lord was with him. And that, because he focused on the present, the prophet says, he kept his anointing on his gift.
Yes.
And
hallelujah.
It was that that delivered him from the situation that he was.
Amen.
In God's due time.
Amen.
Because friends, God has a due time. Amen. Ecclesiastes 3. In everything.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a time for everything.
Hallelujah.
God has an appointed time for everything.
Amen.
And when that appointed time comes, the believer will say it's not the best time.
Right.
It wasn't the best time to the world. It's not the best time to the people you associate with, because they're creatures of time.
Amen.
But you're not a creature of time. Amen. So the timetable your life operates on isn't the same timetable as theirs.
Amen.
They operate on a calendar on the wall. You operate by faith.
Amen.
You operate on something that's always present tense.
Amen.
Something that patiently waits for the promise. Knowing he is faithful to his promise.
Amen.
And he will do that. You will know in his due time. There's that song, in his time. He makes all things beautiful. In his time. And faith is satisfied to wait for his time. And that's the key thing about faith. He says that in adoption, he says, speaking of beyond the curtain of time, he says, remember, a word is a thought expressed. God thought how he could be God, how he could be worshipped, how he could be a healer and a savior. And as soon as he spoke the word, it was finished forever.
Amen. Amen.
Why?
Amen.
That's what the faith dimension. When God speaks something, it's finished forever.
Amen. Amen.
In God's eyes. Because God doesn't have yesterday and tomorrow. To God, I've spoken and it's finished. God is perfectly satisfied when he speaks, it's going to come to pass. He says, oh, if these sons of God now could only lay hold of the word like that. When God speaks a word, it's finished. Absolutely. He might have waited. The Lord, yeah? He spoke. Let there be. Chronology says, archaeologists and all, they claim maybe the world was millions and millions and millions. That's time. He says, I don't know. It might have been trillions and trillions. That's one thing about faith, friends. Faith doesn't need all the answers.
Amen.
Faith
Amen.
Is satisfied to say, I don't know.
Amen.
It doesn't really matter. If God is in the program, you might not have all the answers, but you're still satisfied.
Amen.
Other people say, how can you be satisfied but not having all of these answers? Because faith is just satisfied.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied by revelation, not by explanation.
Amen. That's right.
All faith needs to know is that God is speaking to me.
Amen.
God is in the program. He's the one who started this work in my life. He has his table, his timetable. The moment God speaks, it's finished. That's faith. Faith is satisfied in that. The prophet says, I don't know, it might have been trillions and trillions of years. God does not exist in time. So God in you, the Holy Ghost in you,
yeah,
and God's faith that he drops down that channel into you, don't exist in time. It doesn't exist in time. It doesn't worry about time.
Amen.
He has not 1 minute less time than he did when he spoke it.
Amen.
That's how I first understand.
Hallelujah.
God speaks and says, let there be light. It might have taken trillions of years, but it was just as fresh to God.
Amen.
After 10 trillion human years as it was when God first spoke it. Because God doesn't dwell in time.
Amen.
God doesn't recognize time. So he can speak it. It can take trillions of years. And to God, it's as if it happened now. Because faith is always present tense. He says, he has not 1 minute less. And when he spoke it, he's still God. There's no time with him. He says, I never knew that like that until the other night. He says, the other morning when he went beyond the curtain of time.
Amen.
And he understood, but it's different.
Amen.
That faith dimension operates completely different from here. No one gets old there.
Amen.
It's a land where you'll never get old.
Amen.
Faith never gets old.
Amen.
French faith doesn't look in the mirror and worry.
Yeah.
That's sight and sense. That's your human anatomy. That you look at, say, I'm starting to get some gray hairs. No, time's catching up with me. Faith doesn't recognize that. Faith doesn't worry about that. Faith doesn't look on the calendar and say, I better get married this year, so I'm going to be, you know, beyond the age. Since when? Who told you that? Did faith tell you that, or is that just reasoning and sense? Because reasoning and sense have lied to you ever since you were born, so why are you trusting them now? But faith never disappoints. And faith will never lie to you. If God is in the program, He will bring it out in His time. In His time. He does all things, makes all things beautiful in His time. But the problem is, it's His time, not our time.
Amen.
We have our timetables. We want things to work by a certain time. I was praying for last week, but I'm still sick. So what?
Amen.
So what? What timetable are you judging things by?
Amen.
You're using the wrong timetable.
Amen.
You need to use His timetable.
Amen.
That though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Amen.
That it will speak in His time.
Amen.
It will come to pass. That's why when something comes forth from that faith dimension into the science civilization of ours, it has to navigate through a lot of obstacles, friends.
Amen.
Because we're creatures of time. From when we're born, we're told, you're 10 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to be at school at 9 o'clock. You need to be at college at this. You've got to have a break at 1 and finish at 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got to sleep by 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been told time. Faith doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Faith is independent of time.
Amen.
Faith is just as satisfied waiting for a promise 25 years, or like with Noah, 120 years.
Amen.
Noah in Hebrews 11 speaks to a faith's duration.
That's right.
That faith can endure. Faith is a long-range runner.
Amen.
Faith can run the marathon as well as the sprint, friends.
Amen.
Faith can be just as satisfied after 119 years as it is the day that God gave the promise.
Amen.
Because in that dimension, there's no time. There's no time at all.
Amen.
He then finishes off. He says, I never knew that until the other morning. Eternal. No yesterday, no tomorrow. It's all now. He says, did you notice the word I am? Not I was or I will. It's eternal. I am that I am.
Amen.
God is all as I am.
Amen.
God isn't I was or I'm going to be. He's eternal. He's I am.
Amen.
Faith is always. Faith is. That's how faith is.
Amen.
Faith just is. Because it came from I am.
Amen.
So faith is. That's what it is.
Amen.
No, faith is. Faith is satisfied with God being in the promise. Faith is satisfied. Don't worry about those things. But faith also knows there's a due season.
Amen.
Faith always also knows that there's a finishing point. And it waits patiently for God's timetable to intersect with your timetable. And sometimes when those two things linger, it's a test of faith. It's not faith itself that gets troubled, it's you and I that get troubled.
Mm.
And when things seem to be taking longer than the norm, when it seems the opportune time has passed us by, friends, that's a real test of faith, especially to many people. When the Lord's saying, trust me with your future. Like He's saying to Abraham, Abraham, leave everything and trust me. I'm your future. But faith doesn't need to know the whys and the whats and the wherefores. It doesn't. It just needs to know, God spoke to me. I received this by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This wasn't something I worked up inside of myself. But God spoke to me.
Amen.
And that's what faith is. When God speaks to you, it is revelation. When God drops something fresh down the channel and says, I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied. You may still be sick next year, but faith is still satisfied.
Amen.
Because the word has gone forth. And faith recognizes inside of itself, God has spoken. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but God's word will always come to pass.
Amen.
Faith is like that. So friends, when you hear people saying it's too late, no.
The prayer lines in those tapes prove to you it's never too late.
That's right.
It's never too late. You may be a congressman. I'm sure you've been in a wheelchair and you're an old man. And people are saying you'll never, it's never too late with God.
Amen.
Moses looked back and says, I'm now 80 years old. If God was ever going to do something with me, it would have been when I was young and strong, when I was a general in the army. No. That's your human reason. God has his timetable.
That's right.
God called him when he was 80 years old. Doesn't make sense according to sight and reason and time. Or the human timetables that we like to put upon the lives of people. No. God doesn't work like that. Faith isn't hindered by age.
Amen.
Faith isn't hindered by menopause.
Amen.
Faith isn't hindered by what the doctors say. Oh, it's too late. It's gone too long. It's gone too far. Faith doesn't recognize that terminology. That's terminology of time. Faith doesn't know those kind of things. It doesn't know those things. Now, to show with age. Faith doesn't recognize age. The prophet would have mentioned Mr. Walker. We know the story. He says, there have been many of the young ministers preaching that day. You see how we look at things here? And when they brought the minister out that night to preach, a colored brother, he was real old. You see, the prophet is starting to feel sorry for this man, looking at this old man being brought out to preach. Say, buddy, what are these people doing? His time is gone. His opportunity is past. Can't people see? And he had just a little rim of white hair around the back of his head. You see the things the prophet was paying attention to. And poor old fellow came out walking like this. Yeah, like on a king, yeah? And he got there, and he started to preach. I felt so sorry for him. I wanted to go up and hold his arms to keep him from falling while he was preaching. He was so old. And I thought, why didn't they put some of them young fellows up there? They've been preaching all day about what Jesus did. But he went back yonder, brought him back across the skies, down the horizontal rainbow. And about the time he got down there, the old man hollered, whoopee! Jumped up and clicked his heels together and went tipping off the platform and said, you haven't got enough room for me to preach.
Amen.
And I looked and I thought, brother, if that Holy Ghost will make an old man act like that, what will it do for me?
Amen.
He received a fresh visitation from the faith dimension. There's no time there.
Amen.
There's no old age there. That's why the Bible says, even the young men shall faint, shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because in that dimension, there's no old age. There's no feeling sorry for anybody in that dimension. When you have a fresh infusion of that dimension into your experience, it renews your youth.
Amen.
It renews your youth as an eagle. Last week on Sunday morning when we got up, when we were out in Wicklow with the young people, everyone was saying, no, maybe we shouldn't have a service this morning because people were tired. And then we were coming to church and people would be asking questions, wondering how long the service is going to be. I thought to myself, I said, saints, you just need the quickening power.
Amen.
These bodies get tight, but just get yourself in service. Amen. Just start worshiping the Lord after the sacrifice of praise. And you will see something will come forth from that faith dimension. And it's never tired.
Right.
It's never worn out there. It'll renew you. And you'll wonder, where did that strength come from? But then I said to Brother Max, but the next day you feel it. The next day you feel it when you come back down from there. But in divine service, friends, there's a quickening power.
Amen.
If you just have the right attitude, you'll be so tired. You'll be so worn out. God, look what it did to people in days gone by.
Amen.
When Elijah entered that fifth dimension on Mount Carmel, had a fresh visitation, he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot.
Amen.
People can go 40 days, 40 nights, Moses up on the mountain without sleeping. Oh. Is that humanly possible? It's not, but if you fellowship with that dimension, in that dimension, there's no old age.
Yeah,
in that dimension, no one gets weary, no one gets tired, no one's discouraged up there. Those are all things to do with this dimension. So the prophet says, I walked off the platform. He walked off the platform saying, "My, you ain't got enough room for me to preach." And I thought, "My, he's been to a fountain of youth somewhere."
Amen.
I want that.
Amen.
And we all need to keep going back to the fountain of youth.
Amen. Amen.
We need to do it, saints. You need to renew your youth. Because when you renew your youth, you're going to renew your strength.
Amen.
You've got to keep going back. And Abraham and Sarah, that's the fountain they were drinking from.
Amen.
And they drank so much from the fountain of youth that their bodies were changed.
Amen.
That she received a quickening power.
Amen.
She received strength to conceive seed when she was past age.
Amen.
That's what faith did for her.
Amen.
When she went, she was drinking from that faith dimension. You think of Enoch, he spent so much time drinking from that dimension that he stepped into that dimension and never had to die. He went into a land where you never grow old. The problem with us, though, is the calendar. The calendar.
Yes, sir.
And the watch. Especially at church. It's the watch. That guy up there, he wants to spend too much time in that faith dimension. He doesn't know we've got other
keep preaching, guys.
But the watch is the enemy. Once your soul gets into the faith dimension, you don't worry about time anymore.
Amen.
You don't worry about time. You're satisfied in that dimension. Think of Mary and Martha. You know, the song says, he was 4 days late. Humanly speaking, Jesus was far too late. He didn't come according to the human timetable. He never does. Let me tell the truth, friends. God never comes according to your timetable.
Amen.
That's right.
When you think you understand God's timetable, the problem is you've got it wrong.
That's right.
Amen.
That's why Jesus says, speaking of the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, he says, at a time that you think not. We would have worked it out that this has to come first. Amen. And then Trump comes and messes up all of our technology. Now, how does this all put together? You see, we had Clinton coming and she was going to bring a persecution. And then there was going to be the squeeze. And now here comes a friend of Israel. Here comes a man who has more people praying at his inauguration than any other president in history. So, how do you fit this man into the program, friends? That's just the way we look at this. Because at a time that you think not, that's his time. His time is his time. And
amen.
Mary and Martha, they thought, surely when he's sick, God's going to come. He's going to send Jesus to us. And then they send word. Nothing comes from that. And then he dies. And then they put him in the tomb. 4 days in the tomb. And it was too late. Surely everybody would have said it's too late. With God, it's never too late.
Amen.
It's not too late in heaven. To God, it wasn't too late. It was just in time.
Amen.
This was God's appointed time. This was God's appointed season.
Amen.
And God came and he manifested himself. But what was the key with Mary and Martha? It was relationship.
Yes.
They kept the right attitude.
Amen.
They judged him faithful.
Amen.
The problem is when Jesus came and Lazarus was stinking in the tomb, Mary and Martha had the right to upbraid him, to criticize him, to say, "Master, but we've called, we staked our reputation on you. We put all of our eggs in one basket and look what you did for us." Maybe it's Donald Trump. But that's what they did. And how did it work out when Jesus came? She went and she said, "Lord."
Amen. Amen.
She kept the right attitude.
Amen.
And to keep the right attitude means you've got to maintain your relationship.
Amen.
So why are you waiting for his divine timetable to intersect with your human timetable? What can you focus on? Is relationship.
Amen.
Is keep your relationship right, because Sarah judged him faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
That was the key to her faith. That was the key to her receiving the promise, that she judged him faithful who had given her the promise.
Amen.
And she just kept that relationship. So Mary and Martha had Jesus in their home many times. They had a relationship with Jesus. And even through the trying time, they didn't allow the enemy to come to poison that relationship.
Amen.
You try to bring the questions and the doubts that you've done all these things for him. You know, you've given your whole life. And this is how it ends up in the end. Then he lets you down at the time of your greatest point of need. Faith doesn't think like that. Faith is present tense. Faith doesn't worry about 1, 2, 3, 4 days. Faith doesn't worry about that when we asked, he didn't come. Faith doesn't recognize those things. Faith is satisfied. It rests in the promise. And what are our promises? All things work together for good. To them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That has to work for the good. That may not work the way that you think it should work. That may not unfold itself according to your human timetable. But though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Because when it speaks, it's going to speak. Amen. And when he came now to the tomb of Lazarus, it was time for the vision to speak.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you have asked Mary and Martha, okay, Mary and Martha, let me give you a decision. Would you rather I come and raise him up from his sickbed? Would you rather I come to the tomb after 4 days? Which was better? Mm. It was far better what he did. Mm. It had such an impact. It was such a vindication of their testimony of him. It did something to them they could never get away from all the days of their
life. Right.
That's right. He does all things well. He knows the time. But your greatest enemy, sight and time. Those are the things that you've got to watch out for. Sight and time.
Amen.
But they judged him faithful. Now, where faith really comes in is when it's put to the test. And sometimes it's really put to the test. Sarah's was put to the test. She's told, you're going to be here. You're a princess. You're going to be the mother of a multitude. From the seed of Abraham, there's going to come an innumerable multitude. And she's 90 years old. And well stricken with age. And it's no longer with her as of the manner of woman. You see, everything's just not the way that it should be. That's a test, friends. That's a great test. When things go beyond the appointed time. And God's saying, just trust me. When it's moving further and further away from the realms of possibility. And you could have made a plan yourself. Remember, she made a plan about Ishmael. You see, that's the natural human behavior if you're not careful. When you're governed by time, you start wanting to put it in your own hands. But it's that stepping by faith, trusting him. In those kind of situations, that's the hard ones. In He That Is In You, which is a powerful title, He That Is In You, the prophet speaks of the Colorado storm. And he says, I said to the brethren that morning, because there had been a blizzard forecast to come to the hunting in the mountains. This huge blizzard's been forecast. Already all the hunters from the camp above them, about 100 of them have already headed out from the mountains because there's this huge blizzard on its way. Due that day, and the prophet tells the brethren,
amen.
He says, now the first drop of rain starts to fall, the first snow, sleet, anything. Take for the camp just as hard as you can because within 15 minutes you can't see your hand in front of your face. And you'll perish. He says, it started to sleet. The wind started to blast. So I started to go down. And about halfway down there, something said,
amen,
to me, just as plain as you hear me, stop and go back.
Amen.
Time. I have about 15 minutes to get back to the camp. Sense. I can feel the wind. He actually says it. He says about the fear. He says, I was getting scared to go back to where I was because the winds were so terrific. So the body fears. Yeah? Because he's telling you, go by faith now. But the key here, friends, God was in the program.
Amen.
Faith doesn't need explanations. Faith just needs revelation. He's received fresh battle orders.
Amen.
Faith is just willing to focus on the current battle orders. That's all it's supposed to do.
Amen.
But our other senses start to get involved. So the prophet says, I sat down and started to eat a sandwich. And he said, and the brothers had made me a real sandwich. He says, because the other time when you're out hunting with brother so-and-so's father, I made him an onion and a honey sandwich. So something said to me, stop and go back. And I started to move on, but something said, go back where you came from, up the mountain.
Amen.
Go back through that storm, half a mile or more up the mountain into that dark timber, where you can hardly see as far as that organ. He says, but I'm getting to be an old man. And I've been a Christian now for 33 years. And I know, no matter what, how ridiculous it seems, mind the Lord.
Amen.
Do what the Lord says.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
That's mature faith. Because if God is in the program, he who begins the good work, he'll bring it to completion.
Amen.
I don't need to know, ask why. I don't need to know where. I don't need to ask how. I just need to know who. And who it was, he knew that voice. My sheep know my voice.
Amen.
And you know his voice, friends. You know his leadership. So he says, sometimes God makes us do things that seem very dangerous and out of line. Abraham, leave everything. Go to a land that you've never been to before. Okay, Abraham, what's your plan? What's your backup plan? You know, if you get there and it's not what you really expected it to be, what are you going to do? Faith doesn't have a backup plan. Faith doesn't worry about it. He says, how about Moses with a stick going down to take over Egypt? And we hear that story so many times. Do you actually think what it was? You think of that angry Egyptian Pharaoh. You think of Moses with a death penalty upon him. And the Lord's telling him, Moses, you go down with your stick. Yeah, it's easy because we read it from Sunday school. And we're so used to the story. But put yourself there. So the Lord's sending you right into the gates of death. That's what he's doing. He's saying, you're going to trust me, Moses. Just throw down your stick. The Lord didn't show him anything more. Just said, throw down your stick. And then he threw down his stick here and became a serpent. Janus and Jambres did the same thing. God had never told Moses that was going to happen. But faith waits patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. Moses knew God is in the program. He started this work and did obedience to his command. And he waited. And then his serpent swallowed up the other ones. Yeah, God knew what he was going to do.
Amen.
Now listen to what he says, the prophet. He says, everything we find like that. God asks the impossibles.
Amen.
So that he does the impossibles. Mm. That man will know it isn't him, it's God doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
So God sometimes says to you, okay,
Amen.
You're not going to have children until 90 years old.
Amen. Amen.
Then he comes and asks you the impossible. He says to you, Sarah, I'm trusting in you to have children. I'm relying on you. The entire program's in your hands now. You need to conceive. So he asks you to do the impossible. Why? So that he can do the impossible. And then you will know it wasn't man. This was God.
Amen.
That's why to his children sometimes the vision tarries long. Because he doesn't want, like Brother Wilmer said at the camp, he doesn't want to share his glory with anybody.
Amen.
And if it was the doctors who fix it, which many times they can, God can heal by medicine, nothing wrong with that. But there's certain circumstances he puts inside of his life. So no matter how many times you go to the doctor, no matter how many times you go to the fertility clinic, no matter how many times you try to do everything that you can do, the more you do, the further away it seems, the promises.
That's right.
And then you get to the stage now and everyone will say it's too late. All hope is gone. And then the faith dimension speaks.
Hey.
And God says, I don't understand that terminology. It doesn't exist where I am. And then God does the impossible. And friends, what a testimony that is. What a testimony. But you're going to have faith to trust him, to count him, to judge him faithful.
Amen.
Who has promised as you go through that process. And
amen.
That's a test.
Amen.
That That's why he'll never put upon you more than you're able to bear.
Amen.
He knows each of us where our faith is. But when you see those kind of things, what's the Lord trying to do? He's trying to build up our faith. Because the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, is more precious than of gold that perishes.
Amen.
He's trying to build up that faith. He's trying to show that, look, I'm faithful. When I promise, I'm faithful to my promise. And then we get out the boats, and what do? We look at the storms. We look at the wind. We look at the waves. Instead of looking at him who promised.
Amen.
And God is in the program. I mean, God is in the program, even if you fail, he's going to pick you out of the water.
Amen.
Because Peter got out at his command. He said, right. Peter, come.
Yes.
It says, Master, if it's you, call with me to come at you. Peter, come. He wasn't doing it. He was doing it by revelation. Because Christ had revealed it to him. And at first he had that faith. So God sometimes asks the impossible. Let's look at one more example before we finish. That woman in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hallelujah.
To show the principles of faith.
Amen.
So the prophet's in his plane and there comes up a snowstorm. And the plane has to divert. He's on his way coming from Dallas. Another plane sets down in Memphis. This is an expectation, New York, 1951. And the airline said, we'll call you in the morning. And I went up to the Peabody Hotel. They put him in the hotel. Stayed there all night. Next morning, they called me early and says, now, be ready at 8 o'clock. That's a human timetable. God doesn't operate according to human timetables. They said to him, we're coming to pick you up at the hotel. Be ready at 8 o'clock. I said, all right. I had some mail. I had to mail. So I've been out praying. I ran to the post office to put the mail in the box. He says, listen, lead close now to this. How the Holy Spirit leads.
Amen.
I went down to the post office singing. I'm so glad I can see among them. I was going down like that. I started to cross the street and the Holy Spirit said, stop. And I felt the angel of the Lord come near. God was in the program, friends.
Amen.
This wasn't him starting this work. This was God in the program. And as long as you know that it's God who started the program,
Amen.
That's the most important thing.
Amen.
So I got back among some big pillars there and I said, Heavenly Father, what would you have your servant to do? Because the voice just said, stop.
Amen.
So he stops. Now he needs fresh battle orders. Faith needs to focus on the next revelation. What God is going to give him. He says, Father, what is it you want me to do? He said, turn and go back. Just keep going. Now, he never asks where. He never asks why. He's not interested. Faith isn't interested in those things.
Amen.
Faith has heard, it's received revelation. It doesn't need any explanation. It's satisfied with that current revelation. So he focuses on that revelation. And he says, okay, turn and go back. And just keep going. So he keeps on walking. And I turned and went back down the street and walked on for 3 or 4 miles. 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock coming. How did he know?
Hallelujah.
Because he's looking at his
watch.
He's like us. He's like, this is going to cut it fine. He knows they're coming to pick him at 8 at the airport, at the hotel. So I'm sure at about 7:45 he's saying, I'm sure the Lord's going to show me something quick because I've got to get back there.
Because
that's how we operate. You see, we work according to time. We know we've got to be there. Now, if he's going to focus on that, he's going to miss the blessing. If he's going to focus on that, he's going to miss the testimony. But the prophet had such a mature faith. It doesn't matter about what my watch is saying. He didn't worry about that. So he says, 9 o'clock came. Oh my, I knew I was. The plane's gone. But I just kept on going. That's faith, friends.
Amen.
The plane's gone.
Amen.
The 20s have gone and you've got into your 30s and you're not yet married, but you just keep on walking.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what you do.
Amen.
You just keep on walking. You just keep serving him. You just keep faithful to the current revelation. You just keep focusing on what it is that he wants you to do inside of your life. And you leave the timetable in time. just kept on walking. And after a while, I came down in a colored district. It was a very unexpected where. He never expected that was where he was being led, to the colored district. So I looked down, little whitewashed houses, and there was, by the gate, a very typical Aunt Jemima. And down south, they called a preacher a parson. And I said, hello, auntie. And she said, good morning, parson.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
And I said, how did you know I was a parson?
Hallelujah.
She said, I knowed you were coming.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch faith how it works with her. She just receives a revelation.
Amen.
She doesn't receive any explanation. She's by her bed. She's praying for this young man. It's too late. Listen. It's too late. It's far too late. How did you know I was a parson? Did you ever hear about the Shunammite woman in the Bible that had a baby? I said, yes.
Amen.
Well, I is one of them kind of women. I was barren. See? She already knew God's timetable is different than our timetable.
Amen. Amen.
She already knew faith is independent of what the doctors tell you. Amen. She knew that. I was barren and I promised the Lord if he gave me a child, I'd raise it for him. I did the best that I could. The first thing you know, my boy took the wrong road. He took a horrible disease. He's laying in there dying. The doctors can't do nothing for him. He's been unconscious now for 2 days. Imagine, you'll be praising God, my son's dying. I've tried to testify to him. Can't you bring someone to at least tell him about you, Lord? That his soul might be ready before he goes. And maybe you're holding on to that. Surely, Lord, you'll do something. Surely he's going to receive you, Lord, before he dies. And then he goes unconscious for 2 days. If you're looking at the human timetable, you're going to be very disappointed, my friend. If you're judging by sight and time,
amen,
your senses and your reasonings, if you're waiting for explanations, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
But what you need to do, you need to seek revelation.
Amen.
That's what she needed. She needed revelation at that time.
Amen.
So she gets down on her knees. She says the doctors gave him all kind of shots and got down in the bone marrow. Nothing will drive it out now. He's been unconscious for 2 days, a backslider. I pray all day and night, Lord, please send someone. And this morning about 4 o'clock, she fell asleep in her dream. And he told me to go out and see a man with a brown suit on.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all that she knew. That's all faith needs, friends, is the next day. She doesn't know who this man is. She doesn't know what he's going to do. She doesn't know how he's going to change the situation. She doesn't know why God has sent this man to her. She doesn't need to know those things. The only thing she needs to know is God is in the program.
Amen.
Amen.
God spoke to me. That's faith.
Amen.
And she counted him faithful.
Yes, sir.
Who had spoken to
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
So she went in simple faith and stood by the gate at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hallelujah.
When she woke up. And she stood there. The Lord never told when
Amen.
The prophet's going to come. She stands there for hours. Her back is wet from the dew. The sun's already come up. The birds are singing. There's the fragrance in the air of the flowers. She's still standing there. That's faith, friends.
Amen.
Though the vision tarry, wait for it.
Amen.
Just wait for it because it will speak.
Amen.
It will speak.
Amen.
Said, I saw a small man with dark hair coming down the street. That will be the parson. And she said, I've been standing here ever since that time. And I know you are the pastor.
Amen.
So I knelt down, he goes inside, laid my hands over the boy's feet, and said, I'll pray now, auntie. And I said, Heavenly Father, charity is after 9 o'clock. The plane's done and gone. And I don't know, you told me to come down here. Only thing I know to do was to walk.
Amen.
That's faith. If this is the place that you've sent me, I pray you'll hear my prayer and answer for this poor woman. And he began to go, oh, mommy, it's getting light in the room. And in about 5 minutes, you're sitting on the bed talking to us. And I hurried out, called me a cab, got back to the hotel, and you know what? I rushed over to the airport real quick, and the plane was just making its first call. God, for that poor, illiterate, colored woman, grounded her that plane. Okay, we'll make this timetable coincide with his timetable.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When this timetable seems to contradict, when it says the plane is leaving, you've got to be there 8 o'clock for us to pick you up, he gets there and God help the plane. That's powerful.
Amen.
That's a powerful testimony. He says, that woman's prayer grounded that plane, left it, and held it there until her prayer was answered.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If we take those kind of principles, friends, with what you're going through, you know the greatest mistake that we make? It'll seem like the vision is telling you. You're really praying, asking the Lord, I'm in this prison house. Lord, I need my papers. Lord, I need deliverance. Lord, I need you to intervene. And you know what we do? We start getting discouraged.
Yes.
And we don't serve the Lord with all our hearts.
Amen.
We don't feed our faith. We don't be faithful and count him faithful who has promised. That's okay, Lord. You are faithful, so now I'm going to be faithful.
Yeah.
Because I believe that you are faithful, what you've revealed to me now, I'm going to be faithful.
Amen.
If they had done that in the wilderness, they wouldn't have perished.
Right.
But why did they perish in the wilderness? They never counted him faithful and promised. Because they never had a relationship with him. It was only Joshua and Caleb.
Hallelujah.
They had another spirit with them.
Amen.
They counted him faithful.
Amen.
They weren't asking, where? Where's the food? Where's the water? They weren't asking why. Why has he led us out into this barren land? He should have left us down in Egypt. They weren't asking how. How are we going to get to the promised land? They weren't asking those questions. They knew God is in the program.
Amen.
God is in the program.
Amen.
And they left everything else with him. And all that they did is they focused their faith on what God had revealed them to do. And they supported Moses with all that was in him. There were questions they couldn't answer. And people came to him and said, okay, Joshua, now sit down with me here. Do you think this is a prophet? Do you think a prophet will lead a people into a place that there's no water? Tell us. He said, thus saith the Lord. God spoke to me. We're going to our inheritance. Is this our inheritance? Tell me, Joshua. Tell me, you close to him. Does he have a plan? Does he have a map? Does he know where he's going? Does he know where we're going to sleep tomorrow? Does he know where we're going to get our food? Friends, there are lots of questions.
That's
but
right.
Faith doesn't worry about those things.
Amen.
Faith is satisfied.
Amen.
As long as faith is in communion with him, as long as faith has its relationships with its source and counts him faithful, it leaves those things in his hands.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, friends, and that's childlike faith.
Amen.
It's like your child. Your child doesn't worry about where food's coming from tomorrow.
No.
Your child doesn't ask you, Daddy, please, can you just show me? Now we're going on holiday. Can you show me all the way to the end? Doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
A child is satisfied to leave those things in the hands of its father.
Amen.
Because of relationship.
Amen.
And that is why Sarah, she judged him faithful.
Amen.
And had promised. And in due season, the vision spoke.
Amen.
In due season,
Amen.
The vision spoke, and then she just found something transforming her. The same thing she had been fellowshipping with from the faith dimension. Now, it was his appointed time.
Amen.
And it kicked into that gear and it changed her. And now the milk veins opened up. Her body started to change. She felt a change inside of her.
Amen.
And beyond 90, she became fertile once again.
Amen.
Let's count him faithful.
Amen.
Let's count him faithful.
Amen.
That's the great battle that we have to go through when we between the promise and the fulfillment is counting him faithful.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Let's feed our relationship.
Yes.
Let's spend time in his presence.
Hallelujah.
Let's wait upon the Lord so that he can
Amen.
Renew our strength.
Amen.
Let's not fellowship with Mr. and Mrs. Critic, Mr. and Mrs. Unbeliever. When you find those birds of unbelief or want you to come, let them fly over your head, but don't let them make a nest in your head. Don't fellowship with them. Don't welcome them. Don't put your attention upon those things. But feed your faith. Feed your faith. Spend time. Strengthen that relationship because he's faithful to promise.
Amen.
And then in due season, the vision always speaks.
Yes.
And the Bible says a hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Mm.
But a promise fulfilled, it's like a tree of life.
Amen.
And those are the stepping stones. Those are the entries in your spiritual diary that you'll never forget.
Amen.
Those are your absolutes that you can wind back to in the time of distress, in the time of trouble. Those are the things that help you to make disciples of other people.
Amen.
Because you've counted in faithful.
Oh.
Let's stand. Let's sing that song, Where He Leads Me. I will go. We're singing that song early on today. Where he leads me. Don't you want to have that testimony that where he leads me, I'm going to go.
Amen.
Where he leads me.
Where
you
lead me, I will go.
Where he leads me. It says in the song, for I have learned to trust in this. Let's keep on in the process of learning, please.
Jesus shall lead me.
I need your power.
me the way. Lord, I need your power. As we've said many times, if you don't know how to pray, just say what's in your heart. Say, Lord, save me. Or Lord, help me. That's a prayer.
Amen.
Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Let's sing one more. We ask Brother Max to come and dismiss us.
Excellent is our King, O Lord.
How excellent is our King.
Never feel, God. Amen. Even when the trial comes, we is a trial of our faith.
Yes.
And it is working patience in us.
Yes.
Just like our father Abraham, Lord,
yes,
who waited patiently and received the promise of God.
Yes.
So Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
And so Lord Jesus, we believe that the needs of this house,
yes,
oh, no matter how long it has taken, oh God,
yes,
we believe in the name of Jesus,
yes,
Christ, that every request, every need of your children in this house, oh Lord, is already settled because you have promised it and
amen,
you will never fail, oh God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, we give glory to you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even tonight, this afternoon, our faith is looking at our precious bread of life. That he is healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Lord. Same also, Father, we thank you for the visitors in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you that you have lifted them up, Lord.
Amen.
And now, oh Lord, in nowhere faith in our lives, oh God.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be your name, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we commit our precious brother also, Neto, into your hands.
Amen.
And myself, Lord, as we travel, oh God,
amen,
Lord, you got the daily messages.
Yes.
Keep us safe as the pastor has preached. I have prayed already.
Amen.
The Lord will bring us back safe with testimonies,
amen,
to the glory of your name, O God.
Yes.
Oh Lord, once again we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Bless our pastor, Lord.
Yes.
Oh Lord Jesus, we know that, oh God, he is in your hands.
Yes.
Oh, even that week, that last week, oh God, we were all tired. But the way how, Lord, you renewed him, oh God. Continue to renew him, Lord Jesus. Continue, Lord, to inspire him, Lord. Continue to anoint him, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. As we stand before you, Lord, how our faith now has been raised, Lord.
Amen.
We will never look at what the devil says, but we will look at the promise, Lord. That's where our faith is focused now. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, we commit, O Lord, and the youth will be meeting this afternoon.
Amen.
We commit it into your hands, Lord. Father, be in their midst,
Lord,
as you have always been, Lord Jesus. The church is taking another step, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we know it is you that have taken the first step, and we are following, Lord God. Father, concerning the church, the building of the church, oh God.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Lord. Faith now. Seize it, Lord. Yes. That it is already, oh Lord, built. And Father, we say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Bless every brother, Lord.
Amen.
By their inspiration, oh Lord,
yes,
that, oh Father, give them the wisdom, Lord, yes, Jesus.
Amen.
All that they want to undertake, Lord, for this purpose, Lord Jesus. We commit it into your hands. And Lord, you bless it, Lord.
Amen.
Let it be something, oh God, we can lift it up and say, yes, it is the hands of the Lord,
yes,
that has made it, to God. Father, once again, we say thank you for granting the journey mercies here. We going back, Lord. Father, same granted journey mercies back.
Amen.
And even all other road users, we commit all of them into your hands.
Yes.
Grant each and everyone safe journey to their destinations.
Yes.
And Father, the rest of the week is in your hands.
Yes.
We pray that, oh God, once again, when we come here, Lord, we will never leave the same.
Yes.
Because we will always be in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
We thank you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
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 Let's worship as we dismiss, but it will be with you.
Ancient words.
Ancient words ever true, changing me.